Welcome to Reversible, where we explain the connections between your gut health and every other sickness or disease you can possibly imagine. Now, something interesting about humans is that we're always looking for this silver bullet, the smoking gun, if you will. Now, that's probably the thing that shoots a silver bullet, but you get the idea. Now, the most common question I get asked is what's X supplement I can take for Y problem? And that's not a question I can really even answer. Ever, but a much more realistic one to answer is which foods are best or worst for the gut or for gut health in general. Now, to answer these questions, I have to preface there are obviously some nuances here. I'm going to say one thing that someone's going to say, no, that's bad for my gut. And that is often the case, but I'm going to give you the 80-90% overhaul here. And we're going to dive into some really cool nuances behind these foods to help identify some other problems. So, as a general whole, there are definitely some best and worst foods, right? Now, again, the list isn't perfect. So this will be a bronze bullet, if you will. So here's what we're talking about in this episode. Number one, we're going to go over the best and worst foods for the gut health, obviously. Number two, how eating certain foods can help identify what's actually causing your gut problems. This is really interesting because, again, as a Crohn's colitis specialist working on helping you guys really identify gut health issues on the whole spectrum of gut health, when you eat a certain food and it causes a certain problem, it can help me identify the roots of severe inflammation. So even if you're on the low end of the spectrum, we're going to help you with that today as well. The third thing we're talking about is the foods that I believe all people should avoid unquestionably, and I'm going to tell you why. And then the last is the pros and cons to certain types of diets and how they may help or harm gut health. So think things like plant foods versus animal foods, right? Those extremes of different diets. Now, for those just tuning in, my name is Josh Deck. I'm an ex-paramedic, holistic nutritionist, medical lecturer, and I specialize in helping people reverse Crohn's and colitis, which is just about the worst digestive diseases you can get next to cancers. And if we can help them, we can help you have a healthy gut too, wherever you are in the gut health spectrum. Now, before we get into it, I do want to remind you these episodes are for information and educational purposes only, and they are not intended to substitute professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. So, let's get right into it. The worst foods, the most obvious foods. I feel like I shouldn't even have to say this, but I'm going to say it just in case, okay? Number one, fast foods. Anything processed, refined, artificial, garbage factory foods. Those fried foods. Now, I'm not talking about even foods that are fried in animal fat. I'm cool with that. Using ghee butter or avocado oil, I'm cool with that. I'm talking about your safflower, your sunflower, your canola, your corn, your grapeseed oil, like all these artificial seed oils that are basically better off inside the engine of your car than the rest of your body. Any kind of fake foods are going to be a problem. If it's not something your great-great-great-grandmother would recognize, don't eat it, right? Your sugars, your colas and pops and high fructose corn syrups and all these things. So I'm just going to stop right there because if you guys are listening to this podcast and if you've gotten to episode 50 already, you know that. These are things we don't need to rinse and repeat. So I'm just going to jump ahead, treat you like the adults you are because I love you guys. You ask great questions. So let's move on. Now, I'm going to tell you quickly, for those, again, tuning in, why these are so bad. Number one, they feed bad bacteria. Now, all bacteria has a place. We've established that in previous episodes, good and bad, but it's about harmony and causing inflammation or giving food that these bad bacteria prefer. They overgrow, creating disharmony, leading to diseases. They also contribute to toxicity in the liver, into the blood, your lymphatics, and your tissues, and all kinds. And then they feed these bacteria, which produce toxins, which then produce or get into your lymphatic and blood and liver and all kinds, causing issues in the brain and you name it. So we know we've established in many episodes before, the gut is the root for all diseases. Putting in unnatural things that your great-great-grandmother would not recognize as food is cause for concern and problem. And if you heard that little whack in the background, I'm hand talking and I just hit my printer. I get very excited about this stuff. And so let's move on to the next one. Let's talk about the best foods. Now, I did preface that the best foods for gut health all have some sort of nuance behind them because everyone is different. So don't at me if I give you a food idea and you go, I can't have that. That's fine. Just use your own discretion. You're an adult. So number one best food that can be really great for recovering is going to be soups, particularly soups made with bone broths or bone broths by themselves. The second one I love to use is soft meats. So that's going to be your roast beefs, your fish, those types of things that can be very soft and broken down very easily. I'm also a huge fan of red meat, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. Some people are anti-red meat. I am very pro-red meat from all the studies I've seen, I've done, and used in my own clients with severe gut disease, as well as basic things like berries and fruits. Now, personally, my bias is I'm not huge on vegetables and leafy greens. Some people are. But again, my lens, my view, I often say, if you give me a hammer for long enough, eventually everything looks like a nail. That's some wisdom my father gave me many years ago, and it's stuck ever since. It's a confirmation bias. If you give me information or give me a lens to look through for long enough, it's eventually the only lens I will learn to look through. And so we do, even as practitioners, have to be open-minded. I believe there are many people who have done phenomenal with plant-based diets. That doesn't mean plant-based diets are the best. I've seen many people do phenomenal on animal-based or even carnivore diets, nothing but red meat and water. Does that mean they are the best? Truthfully, we still don't have conclusive data either way to prove one or the other for all humans. And given where we are in modern health and modern history with our gut bacteria being so destroyed, I talked about in previous episodes, I forget which one, we talked about the study done in Cell Reports as published in The Scientist in 2018, I believe, or 2020, where they compared microbiomes or gut maps from rural Nigeria, farmers, urban Nigeria, and modern American societies. And we found our gut bacteria in North America is destroyed comparatively. So who's to say the data we have is all skewed? So I'm going to preface that as well. Another great food can be ferments. Fermented vegetables and even meats can be wonderful. So these are all things that I consider some of the best foods for the gut. And I want to talk about each one and explain why, as well as the nuances as to why they may be bad and why it could be actually causing you a problem. And so some of these foods we're going to talk about, if you consume them and you find yourself having a problem, digestive diseases, skin issues, acne, or eczema, whatever else, it can actually point us to the root of what's going on inside of your gut. So stay tuned. So let's talk about bone broth was the first one. Bone broth can be wonderful because it's got all kinds of collagen and glutamine and wonderful nutrients that can help nourish your gut lining. It can actually help build that mucosal layer. It can be anti-inflammatory. All that glutamine can be really nice for actually bringing the villi or these microvilli like the fingers in your intestines to bring them out, creating more surface area. They're more ready to absorb food, especially after a fast. Really beneficial stuff. But something we have to keep an eye on, if you're somebody who has allergy responses, your immune system's overstimulated, maybe you have an autoimmune condition, maybe you're someone with lots of allergies, or you have something called MCAS, that's known as mast cell activation syndrome. Histamine-based foods like bone broths, ferments, fried foods, even spinach and certain vegetables can be high in histamines, leading to problems. And so if you're somebody who's eating these foods and you're finding yourself getting really phlegmy, really irritable, even canned tuna, for example. I had a gentleman I was working with who was 15 at the time with Crohn's disease, and we were working together. I took a food journal. Now everybody tells me what they're eating and their calories because we're used to tracking calories. I don't care. I want to know, what is your body doing with each food? How are you responding? How are you reacting? How do you feel? Are you in a good mood, a bad mood, high energy, low energy, lethargic, crabby? Like, what's going on? And every time this guy would eat canned tuna fish, he loved his tomato oil canned tuna, he would get really irritable. Well, we found out through this process, he had a histamine issue contributing to his Crohn's disease, which led us again further into finding his root cause of what's going on. And so bone broths and ferments can be high in histamines. And if this contributes to some of your problems, then we have to note histamines as a problem for you. Now, as a specialist, we can look into this and again, find more root causes and figure out why is your histamine elevated? What part of your immune system's up? But that's another time. Okay, let's talk about just the foods for right now. So we know another one, for example, there's lots of collagen in these bone broths. Now, I'll backpedal here a little bit. A bone broth is very different than a broth or a meat broth. A meat broth is something you might simmer 2 to 4 hours, a bone broth up to 48, where you actually take this collagen, this extract from these bones and these ligaments and tendons, you'll simmer them for 48 hours, put it in the fridge, and it's like jello, really thick, really dense. That's going to be the most bone brothy of the bone broths. That is the ultimate bone broth form. Whereas the low end is like just a meat broth that you use for typical soups after a couple hours of simmer, where it extracts some of the proteins, but not the same collagen. And again, if that heavy collagen causes you problems, it could be a histamine issue. On the other hand, if you're someone struggling with severe digestive disease like Crohn's and colitis, and you're having, for example, you're having calcium supplements or collagen, because again, collagen is heavy in calcium. If you're consuming that and you're bleeding right away, it could actually be a Clostridia bacterial overgrowth. So we have to look at these foods and how they react and what in them is contributing to certain problems. Okay, that's number one. So we talked about another best food being soft meats. Well, why? Soft meats are high in proteins and glycine and collagens and all these things that we're talking about that your body needs for good cellular health, for good intestinal digestive health, for good hormonal health, for everything. And when we're eating, consuming these soft meats, they're easy to break down, digest, and absorb. Whereas somebody who maybe cooks their steak where it's like shoe leather, it can be very difficult. Now, on the gut disease spectrum, I've seen two sides of people. I've seen one where they eat meat and they start bleeding. I've seen the other where they eat meat and they feel phenomenal. So the question is, if you're eating it and you're bleeding, one, are we feeding something that's contributing to the blood? Two, are you just not breaking it down and that whole food is coming through, acting more like sandpaper in your gut than it would be nutrients, because it's ripping things apart in its hardened, undigested form. And so I've seen that cause blood too. And so on the other hand, if you're eating it and you feel really good, is it a nutrient you're lacking or is it something you were consuming prior? And so two episodes ago, I think it was episode 48, we talked about plants versus animal-based foods or the carnivore versus plant-based diets. And I was talking about in this episode, what I feel to be the primary driver. I don't believe inherently vegetables are all bad. It's more what we do to the vegetables, the glyphosates. And one of our listeners actually wrote in talking about even good fruits and vegetables, even organic, we have to watch for something called a peel, which is one of Bill Gates' new fruit vegetable coatings that'll make an avocado last 6 months on the shelf. And that's very, very true. So is it what's on the vegetables or is it the vegetables themselves? And so if you're someone like myself, now I've talked about my gut issues I've had over the years, you know, probably 5-6 years ago, and my gut got really severe. I lost 25 pounds. Transit time was 10 minutes. I'd eat and I was in the bathroom. I was super weak, super fatigued. Moods were all over the place. ADHD was an all-time terrible. Well, my gut was popping off. I had candida and all kinds of stuff that was going on at the time, which again, recently came back. And so for me, I am genetically predisposed to expressing inflammation through my joints into my brain as neuroinflammation. I get focus issues, I get ADHD problems, I get moody and irritable, and I get acne because all these bacterium or these fungi in my gut love, candida loves carbs, starches, fibers, sugars, anything that can ferment. So for me, going to a carnivore diet, I was no longer feeding those candida, and the back end of it was less toxins, which meant less joint pain, less neuroinflammation in my brain, and less acne. And so we have to understand that foods may not be good or bad inherently, but it's how your body is breaking down, digesting, absorbing, and processing that's contributing to these problems where food can be bad. And so if you're eating soft meats and you feel really good, two questions to ask. One, have I stopped, and that's again, eating an animal diet, have I stopped feeding something I should not be feeding? Or am I nutrient deficient or lacking something this protein is now giving me? And so I talked about red meat as one of my best foods. So we've done bone broths, soft meats. My next ones are red meat, ferments, then berries and fruits. So red meat, some people are anti-red meat. There's kind of a demonization of red meat right now in the media. And I have seen phenomenal things with red meat, not only in myself, but Crohn's and colitis clients who are able to break down, digest, absorb. Of course, we have to go all the way back to my earlier episodes. I don't know if it was episode 4, talking about acid reflux, where if you don't have enough stomach acid, you'll end up getting reflux, and things like meats and other foods cause problems because you don't have the acid to break down, digest, and absorb. And so what we need to look at here is if meat is causing you problems, is it maybe you're one of the unlucky few who have bitten by these ticks who make you allergic to red meat? Maybe you're one of these individuals who are high stress and you're not making proper stomach acid because you're in fight or flight. But on the other hand, good quality animal fats, not the toxic animals grown in farms. People give me a hard time all the time and say fats are bad because they store toxins. They do. But a grass-fed, grass-finished, pasture-raised animal, those fats are going to be so high in nutrients. And if your liver is not full of toxins like corn syrup and artificial man-made foods, then you're going to be able to filter out those toxins from the fat anyway. That's what your liver does. And so red meat I find to be a superfood. But if you're not digesting it, maybe you need some digestive enzyme support, or maybe you need softer meats like fish for now that aren't going to be contributing to your problems down the road. So the next food I want to talk about, which is, I'll use air quotes, best for gut, is ferments. Now this ties back to bone broths where they're high in histamines, but they can be problematic. I've seen people down pounds of ferments and have nothing but worsened issues. I've seen other people feel fantastic eating ferments. And here's why. Ferments contain these probiotics. Now, if you've not heard my fish bowl analogy, I talk about probiotics, prebiotics, and postbiotics. Probiotics are the living organism, the fish in the fish bowl. Postbiotics are fish poop, whereas prebiotics are fish food that's turned by the fish into fish poop. And so probiotics are living organisms, and they produce these postbiotics. That's the fish poop. When you consume ferments or even probiotic supplements, oftentimes the bacteria themselves might be dead. Sometimes they're living, but they've always got these postbiotics. If you feel really bad, One could be histamines when you're consuming these things. Two, when you're consuming them, and this ferments will also count for, again, probiotic supplements. If you're consuming them and feeling better, it could be something you're lacking. It could be a postbiotic your body doesn't have, the butyrate, the valerate, the propionate, these things that your bacteria produce that we need for immune modulation, for inflammatory responses, for neuroinflammation, for chemical signaling to the brain, to the immune system to tell it what to do. It's a very woven process. And so ferments, if you're finding you're having more problems, more gas, more bloat, more irritability, it could be that these ferments are being broken down by dominant bad bacteria, and this is contributing to problems. These fibers are getting fermented by overgrowth. Perhaps you have a SIBO condition, that's small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. So these are things to also look out for. And the last one on my list here is going to be berries and fruits. Now, if you're somebody eating high sugar fruits, think like mangoes, very, very sweet, sugar-dense foods, or peaches even, you might find yourself producing more acne, more joint pain, neuroinflammation, more irritability. Your sugar cravings might increase. So the question is, are we feeding candida or fungi or bacteria causing problems, and they're eating these sugars because they love sugars, carbs, starches, and fermentable fibers? And they will eat them first. The dominant species, the dominant fish, the biggest fish in the fishbowl will always eat first. And so if we feed them these high density, high sugar dense foods, they eat first, they poop these bad byproducts, your liver and your body push them out through the skin, through the joints, through the nervous tissue. And that's where you get your ADHD, your focus issues, your joint pain, your acne, your eczema, psoriasis, etc. And so what are we feeding when we're eating these foods? On the other hand, even someone with candida like myself, I'm still battling it. I'm working on it. It's a long process. If I eat high sugar fruits, I will get these problems. But if I eat dark berries, right? For example, one banana is 25 grams of sugar on average, whereas a whole cup of raspberries is like 7 grams. And so when you're eating things like berries, they have great anthocyanins and polyphenols and all these really nice antioxidants inside of them, which are beneficial for your health. Right? They're beneficial in a lot of different ways. They have nice fibers that, again, some bacteria can use with less sugars, so the dominant ones don't eat those sugars first. They're a lower sugar option, providing some fibers and benefits to the other bacteria. And so we talked as well about the plant-based versus animal-based diets. I'll give you 2 points of contact on this one. Number one, there's a vegan community who people feel phenomenal, or some are in denial that they're nutrient deficient. Or on the other hand, there's a carnivore diet, where some people takes an adjustment period. I've seen very few people do poorly on carnivore unless they're unable to digest the meat. Again, high stress, stomach acid, etc. So we have to look at here. A colleague of mine, Ben Azadi, he runs a podcast called Keto Camp. And I was actually just on his in Miami like a week ago, a couple of days ago. And so we were out there chatting, and he had recently with Dr. Pompa done a study on himself. He did a GI map. So that stool sample where he actually studied all his gut bacteria, and he went carnivore, just meat and water for 3 straight months. Well, at the end of 3 months, everybody guessed that, well, yeah, he'd have less diversity. There's no fiber for his gut to feed on. He'd have more health issues because he's nutrient deficient. He was better off. At the end of this 3 months, his blood looked better. His stool actually improved. His gut bacteria, they found, I think, 4 or 5 new species that he did not have before that he now had after going carnivore. So there's merit to both. So we have to understand, if you're consuming collagen and calciums and you're getting blood and pain, perhaps you have a Clostridia issue. If you're consuming something that is fermentable sugars or carbs, maybe you're having problems. It could be a fungal or candida issue, right? If you're someone who has these cycles of pains within the body, it seems unrelated to food, maybe it's parasites, right? There's a lot of different things we have to look at. If you're someone who consumes, sidebar, you consume very little water, but you're peeing all the time, especially if you're peeing a lot and it's clear and you're drinking like a liter of water a day, and you have gut issues, maybe it's mold or mycotoxins. And so we have to start looking into where our roots are, what foods are doing, and how they're reacting within us. Not which foods are best or worst, but what our body is doing with them at the time. And this is a very important statement to make across the health and wellness industry, where we're demonizing meat or oatmeal or whatever we're trying to do. What is your body doing with it that is causing the problem? Is it something on the food, sprayed on the food? Go back to episode 48, we talked about that. Or is it the food themselves? And so I'm going to cut that one here, guys. That's all for this episode of Reversible, the ultimate gut health podcast, where we talk about poop and digestion so you don't have to. Guys, life is too short to feel like crap. So please do ask us questions, write in. If you have a question you like answered on our next quick tip episode, these quick tips have gotten more than 10 minutes, like 20 minutes now, but we do it because we love you. And if you have a question, click the link below inside the show notes, and I'm going to make sure I put a link there for you guys to submit a question. We're going to really appreciate that. We love hearing from you because when our listeners write in, we know what you guys want to hear. This podcast is not here for me to talk at you. It's here for us to help educate the things you want to learn about. So write in, click the link below in the show notes to submit your question. It'll make sure we answer that one and shout you guys out on the next episode. That's all for now. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next time. I want to thank you for being a listener of our show, and I also want to ask a huge favor. One of the best ways to help this show grow is by getting reviews. Now, they tell major podcast platforms and, of course, other listeners how great this show is, and it would mean the world to us if you left us one. But not only does leaving a review help us grow, but in the same breath, it gets this message to more people where it belongs. And that's why we created this show in the first place. So if you could leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening on, it would mean the world to me and my team. And if you're not sure how, simply click the link in the description, leave us a review, and there's instructions and a step-by-step on how to do that. Thank you so much, and we'll see you on the next episode.